Hey friends, welcome back to The Good PM Life. I'm your host, Sandy Lawler, and I am so excited you're here today because this episode is a special one. I had the absolute pleasure of sitting down with Amy Landino. Yes, the Amy Landino. She's a powerhouse when it comes to personal branding, productivity, and helping people just like you and me take control of their time and their mindset. Now, you may know her from her award-winning YouTube channel, or maybe even from her best-selling book, Good Morning, Good Life, where she shows us how to start each day on purpose and set the tone for the life we love. Now, if you know anything about Amy, you know she talks a lot about going after the life you want. And that's exactly what we're going to talk about today in today's conversation. So if you're thinking about making a big move, like maybe stepping into a new career in project management, Amy brings the encouragement, the real talk, and the actual practical steps to help you do it, which you know I love to do. Now today, we're going to chat about everything from how to get out there before you maybe even feel ready, to finding that courage when imposter syndrome creeps in, to using your past experiences as a launchpad, not as a limitation. So if you've been waiting for a sign to take the next step, this episode might just be it. So today, I want you to grab your coffee, I want you to get cozy, and let's jump into this inspiring conversation with the incredible Amy Landino. Hey everybody, this is Sandy with the Good PM Life Podcast. Guys, I have such a special guest to share with you today. Her name is Amy Landino, and here's a little fun fact. I've been following Amy on YouTube for many, many years, and she has actually been such a great inspiration to me. And today I wanted to bring her to you so that she can inspire you as well. So Amy, if you would like to introduce yourself to our greater audience, that'd be great.
Well, who cares about me other than I'm one of Sandy's old friends. We just go way back. We may have just met each other for the first time one-to-one, but it's really fun. And thank you so much for saying that and for having me on the show, Sandy. It's a really cool thing when you can build such a strong relationship with somebody simply by putting yourself out there. And I know Sandy is such an amazing example of this. I think you said like your playground is LinkedIn, right? You've been sharing a lot of your thoughts with the LinkedIn community. And it's amazing when you do that. And that's really all I've been doing is posting to YouTube since 2007. That wasn't a verbal typo. It was not 2017 when I started. It was 2007. Like I have just been a video creator at the heart for a long time, and that taught me a lot of skills. So over that time of learning how to tell stories and edit videos, it built a strong social media marketing skill set that turned into a video content marketing skill set that turned into a consulting skill set. And now today I'm a coach, international keynote speaker, and I've published 3 books. I'm working on my 4th. So it's an amazing thing when you put yourself out there and you learn things because you're willing to welcome an audience in. They teach you a lot about yourself, what you're interested in. And the more interested you are, the more curious you are about the world, the more skills you gain, and the more ways you find to help people. So that's really all I've been doing. It's just been trying to find new ways to learn so I can help people more.
That's so interesting. So, you know, a lot of my listeners are aspiring project managers. And I have many, many people that come to me to ask, how can I get into project management? I virtually have no experience in project management, but it just sounds like an interesting career choice. Well, the interesting thing is that pretty much everybody has some sort of project management skills. And now when you were just introducing yourself to the audience, you actually also have project management skills. You've been doing a lot of this work for many, many years, and now you have grown an amazing business. You're finishing up your 4th book. There are so many project management principles that you apply in your personal and professional life that has brought you to this point. And this is actually something that I'm always preaching to my audience is you have the skills. You've done this pretty much your whole life. You're organizing things, you're strategizing, you're defining a scope for something, you're identifying the risks. These are all the things that everybody does personally and professionally. And this is exactly what you described. So this is wonderful because I really am thankful that you're here because this is such a great example of someone who has started essentially from scratch, 2007, which we won't holler, too loudly, but
you have grown this into a successful business. And I can parallel that with someone who is just starting out wanting to look into project management and then making a successful career out of it. Yeah. So I'd like to kind of start out by asking a couple of questions. So, you know, one of the things that, and this kind of piggybacks over what I was saying, a lot of my folks are saying, they're like, I think I'm ready, but I'm not sure I'm ready. They're not like super confident about whether or not they're ready. And this is where I explain to them, like, you've been doing this work, just like I just mentioned before. Can you talk a little bit about, like, you know, what does that really look like? You know, when someone feels stuck or they're afraid, you know, what can we do to help them convince themselves that they actually are ready to take this leap?
Well, it's really funny because I agree with you. I think a lot of the folks, even if they don't have a ton of experience, there's a reason why someone's saying, I want to be a project manager. Like, let's just put it out there. Not that sexy sounding. Yeah, I mean, yeah, let's, it's not. Something about it calls to you. And I would go so far as to say it has to do with how approachable the how-to of it all might be for someone, especially maybe a type A thinker that's like, I'm really good at organizing. I can hold people accountable. This is something that I can do. So there is something naturally related to what the specialty is that feels good to you. So it's really not, oh my gosh, like, do I have the skills? You're hearing Sandy tell you you do. You kind of know in the back of your head, you're like, yeah, I do. So what it comes down to when I hear somebody saying that, am I ready? It's not so much that they don't think they have the information, although that is a great excuse. It sounds great. I want to brush up. I want to be an expert. I want to do all the studying. I'll take all the courses and do all the things. It sounds good. But what I hear is you have decision fatigue. There's too many decisions. There's too many choices. Could I do this? Could I do that? Should I stay here? Should I go there? Should I listen to Sandy? Should I listen to Amy? Should I listen to the last Instagram reel I saw? Should I the last LinkedIn post? There's so many choices. You're giving yourself too many decisions. Because you have too many decisions, you choose nothing. And so that ultimately ends up in the status quo. When you're in the status quo and you're in the energy of the status quo, you don't feel ready to leave. And so this is extremely natural. You have to get to the heart of the issue. What is the heart of the issue? What choices am I taking on that I don't even need to entertain? There's probably one or two fundamental decisions that you need to make. Why do I want to be a project manager? That must be some kind of a trajectory I want to go on. If it's, I want to start a business and that feels like a really approachable craft I could start with and go from there, then that's one thing. If it's, I want to get a promotion and I want this position, I need to be a great project manager before I get to that. Cool. Where are we going? Because if you want to get out of the status quo and feel ready to get out of it, you need to be in the energy of something better. We need to know what better actually is. You're looking for how to do it. You're looking for the what, but you're not looking for the why and who you need to be. So that's what I really want somebody to think about. You're not ready because you're not fully in the energy. You can't be fully in the energy if your vision is not clear.
Yeah. I wonder also, and I think I've heard this before, is I wonder if people are just waiting for someone to give them permission to start, right?
Oh yeah, so people, absolutely. People remember back in school when we had to get a pass to go to the bathroom?
Right, right.
So, or, oh, I can't go on the field trip because I didn't get a signed permission slip.
Exactly. That's right. This is just really kind of how we've been trained. But, you know, it's interesting too. Like when I started this podcast last year, I work a full-time job. I'm a full-time project manager. This is not just, I just don't do this, you know, as a whim thing. This is something that I actually do because this is something I saw a need, right? And let me tell you, starting a podcast for just an average professional like myself, it was absolutely terrifying, right? Absolutely terrifying. And of course, in my mind, I'm thinking all of these thousands of people are going to hear me and, you know, maybe one day they would, but you know what? I just said, I'm just going to do it. Like, I mean, what's it going to harm me? Like what's the big deal? I didn't feel ready. I wasn't sure how to even talk on a podcast. Did I have equipment? All of these things, right? But I just said, I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to do it. And look, it has been one of the most fulfilling and rewarding things that I've actually ever done in my professional career because I'm actually helping people. I get messages often about like, you know, this really resonated with me. This really helped me take the leap and get some courage to be able to, you know, just put my neck out there and just go ahead and apply for the job. So that type of feedback is so rewarding to me because I feel like I'm making such a difference. Now, of course, I make a difference at work. And I, you know, I, like I said, I'm still a professional project manager, but being able to help people take that step, take that leap into maybe the next phase of their life is extremely rewarding. You know, and also kind of piggyback off of that, we've got imposter syndrome, which, you know what, I've been a project manager for a really long time. I still get imposter syndrome sometimes. Like, who would listen to me? Like, who would really want to listen to my advice? Who would really want to listen to my advice on this project? And I think that's another thing that people kind of struggle with when wanting to take the leap. So do you ever kind of have imposter syndrome? Have you ever experienced that? What have you done to kind of convince yourself that you could maybe write a book or you could do some additional public speaking? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Imposter syndrome, what's that? No, seriously, can I tell you a funny story? One of my early podcasts, I interviewed Guy Kawasaki, very big deal guy at Apple. And then he became chief evangelist at Canva, lots of stuff in between. And I had him on my show and I started talking to him about imposter syndrome. And he was like, I've never heard that before. I've never had that. And he was really serious. I was like, what? Oh, shoot. I was hoping to make you relatable. I mean, I love the guy, but it was just such a classic moment of like, okay, there are some people who don't get it. I personally think most of those people are lying if they're saying they don't get imposter syndrome. If you don't have some kind of butterflies imposter syndrome about the place you think you're destined to be, then it wouldn't mean that much to you. Right. You should be a little nervous about it. You should want to be a little bit different, a little bit more full, a little bit more excited, a little bit more optimistic, a little bit better, a little bit more high performance to be in a different situation. It means you're growing to your highest potential. What I love that you just talked about was this whole trajectory of starting the podcast, right? You work in a job, you have your position, you're doing a great job. And then you thought, who am I to start a podcast? Who would want to hear from me, right? Mm-hmm. So these are all the things that we start to come up with as to why we might not, which is like I said, all the choices. Well, now I'm having a choice as to whether I'm good enough or not, or whether people would want to hear from me or not. And do I have the equipment or not? And do I know how to do this or not? And do I have the support or not? And would anybody come on my show or not? So you have all these little choices, right? I actually want to give something of a gift to your audience that I think will help with this. It's my extraordinary action framework. So if we want to get to a goal, we've got to work through some of this stuff that is posing as a limiting belief for you, but you don't even know it because you think they are real decisions and steps that you have to take. A lot of them likely don't even matter. So all you have to do, come to my Instagram. You have to be following me because sometimes it's a little wonky. It won't deliver to you properly, but message me good PM. So I know you came from here and you'll get my extraordinary action framework. It's so simple. It's just a line of questions that ask you, how are we going to get from point A to point B? But initial questions like those that help you to realize the tangible things that are in your way and how to resolve them so that you can take the needle moving action steps like putting in the work on the podcast. How many calls can I book? How many of these can I record? How far in advance can we get? The actual tangible stuff that makes the progress. That's easy stuff to outline. If you don't work through the mindset traps first, they'll never happen. So just go check that out. I think it'll help you unpack some of that. But on imposter syndrome specifically, I really feel that the lack of the clarity and the lack of the knowing is what keeps you in that place. I have a little acronym. I like to stay in flow. I'm not having my best day all the time. Sometimes I'm coaching my clients and I am having imposter syndrome about the coach that I am that day. They paid a lot of money for me to be my best self when I'm with them.
Right.
So I've got to stay in flow. It doesn't mean you're always going to have your best days, but you can do things to make yourself set up for success. Successful people don't wait to feel up to it. They've mm-hmm. set up systems to make it more inevitable they'll be successful. So here's my little acronym to stay in flow, F-L-O-W. Feed, language, open, worthiness. Feed language so that you can open up yourself a bit more to that worthiness. What does that look like? Affirmations. Mm-hmm. Sometimes people are like, affirmations. But sometimes you see a phrase, you're like, oh, I like that. And you write it down. And you might even tweet it. Like, ooh, look at me. I tweeted something novel and interesting. It's because that language spoke to you. All affirmations are those moments that make you kind of go, ooh, aha, interesting. And I wish somebody was telling me that every day. Yeah. In those moments, you need to feed yourself that language. Feed yourself that language. I have actually an affirmations app that shows up on my watch. Every time I look at the time, I see one of the affirmations in the app cycling. I don't have to sit down to read them. You can plant them in lots of places, and then they start to become your normal way of thinking. So if the imposter syndrome is who would want to hear from me on my podcast, and now we need to get into the energy of thousands of people change their lives listening to my show. It doesn't have to be true right now for it to be true in your body, for you to at least just reverberate at a teeny tiny higher level than you are now. It would be better than where you were before. And that's what's most important. What language do you need to hear? Stop waiting for somebody else to say it, to give it to you, to send it to you. And this is the best part, Sandy. You said you're changing people's lives on this podcast.
Right.
But you also said, I'm helping people at work too. You are helping people. You're already helping people. It's why some people listening to this are thinking, how can I take my project management mind and skill set mm-hmm. and apply it in a way where I can feel worthy of running my own business or worthy of getting that better job or worthy of whatever or worthy of starting the podcast? All you're doing with a podcast is scaling up the impact that you're doing on a one-to-one or one-to-few level that you're doing in the office. You're taking the same frameworks that work and you're exposing them to more people, which builds brand because it builds leverage and gives you more opportunities because you're not mm-hmm. dealing on a one-to-one level, which takes a long time to make more of an impact.
Yeah.
That's what I want people to remember. Feed language, open worthiness. What do you need to hear to be more in the energy of where you want to be today?
You know, what's so interesting too, Amy, is that for me, I've done this a long time. You've done your work and your craft for a long time, and you still sometimes encounter imposter syndrome. Like, who's going to really want to listen to me? Who's going to want to read my book? Well, you know what? There are thousands and thousands and thousands of people who have listened and have read your books. And it's so encouraging because it's not like we have imposter syndrome in the beginning and then we start working on it and then it goes away. But that little monster creeps up every once in a while when we're not feeling like super confident. And, you know, because I think we're really highly critical of ourselves and we could have done better. I could have handled this situation better. I could have run that project a little bit better. And I think that the negative thoughts really kind of sideline what you're really destined to be. With this podcast, I had to set all of that aside. Even if I sort of believed it, I had to just set it aside and just be like, I'm not going to even pay attention to that. I'm just going to do it. Just like with Nike, just do it, just do it. And that's exactly what I did. I just hit play. And it was encouraging when I finally did that and people would come to me and be like, that was really great. That was some really great information. I've never heard anything like that before. So having that imposter syndrome, it does creep up, but I think like you're saying with the flow, you just have to kind of sit aside and do your affirmations and be like, you know what? I've been a project manager for a long time. I've got a lot to offer someone. And that is what I really try to talk to people in our community is that your life experience totally translates into project management. Mm. So we have we have people from various current careers that are not in project management at all as a title. So we've got a lot of teachers. We've got, I just had actually someone who is in the ministry that is looking to get into project management. And I try to talk to them about and convince them that the work that they're doing, actually, there are project management principles that they employ every single day. So can you talk a little bit about, let's actually move on to transition. So these are really big life decisions. When you're trying to transition, let's say being a teacher into project management, you're not going to immediately be making six figures as a project manager coming on day one. It just doesn't work that way. There's a process to it. So they're giving up a lot in their life, their stability, in order to make that life change. So can we talk a little bit about just transition and maybe just some tips or tricks to kind of make that transition and make it not as painful for people?
Absolutely. I think what we just talked about, flow, is going to be a big one in this case, because imposter syndrome, you think it's hard with something you've been doing a long time. Mm-hmm. Imagine even if you're taking a lot of the skill sets forward, which you should, because all of your life experience is going to be helpful in the next phase.
Right.
You are going to have imposter syndrome about something you've never done before.
Yeah.
So it's very important, even more so, to feed that language that you need. Maybe that language has to do with what you do every day. Something that you mentioned, Sandy, when you were getting into that zone of, okay, I'm going to read my affirmations and I'm going to publish my podcast and hopefully it'll work out. You just published, just publish, just publish, just publish. That's an affirmation reminding you of a habit that is good and is aligned in the intention that you have of having a successful impact on a number of people who listen to this podcast. You have to just publish. The habits that you need are the ones that emulate the person you are becoming.
Love
what
that.
Do you need to do every day to fully be in the person and energy of who you're becoming? Mm-hmm. If you're not a successful project manager making six figures yet, why is that? What does that person look like? What do they do? What are their habits? What are they showing up for no matter what? If they're absolutely sure they're already successful in their career, how do they act? That's where you need to be. You right. need to act as if. And it's going to help you from a mindset standpoint. Let me tell you something crazy about the pivot, okay? Nobody cares. Nobody cares. Nobody cares if it's your first day. Nobody cares if you've been doing this for 25 years. They're right. going to hold you accountable regardless. They're going to have ridiculous expectations. Mm-hmm. And you need to be secure in yourself where you stand today, which is not just your experience, but who you see yourself to be. No one cares what you've done to this point. I mean, I can't stress this enough, because we are so obsessed as a people about, uh-oh, what if I do this and people disapprove?
Yes.
Just inevitable. Yes. People are going to yes. disapprove.
Yep. There's going to be like somebody out there.
A lot of people could disapprove. Yep. I made a massive shift. You guys, listen to me when I say, I had been on YouTube since 2007. Now it's 2017. I had just published my first book, Vlog Like a Boss. I was the video girl on video talking about how to make videos, and I made a book about how to make videos. How do you make a book about how to make videos? I don't know, but I did it. So that's what I did in 2017. I was tired of it. I was like, this is fun. I could talk about it all day. I love speaking about it. I love consulting on it. I love working with Fortune 500 companies in my video production. I loved all of that, but I was tired of talking about it on video. I wanted my presence to elevate, and I felt that I deserved more attention on what I was doing. But if I did, then I had to ask myself, well, if I don't have it now, then who am I not showing up as that does? And so it pivoted in 2018. I'm literally like clock turns onto 2018. I changed my last name. I'm a published author with 10 years of a personal brand. And I changed my name. Mm-hmm. I changed my name. I changed my channel name. I changed the content on my channel. I changed everything I was about, except for whatever I was selling as a product. It just didn't matter, because I could sell it no matter what my platform was saying. So I changed it. I went into project time management, morning routines. I just went crazy because I found it so fascinating that I was making all this content on a consistent basis, teaching people how to grow their own brand, use video, create a social media presence that gave them the leverage they wanted for the life that they want. But everybody was like, I love watching your videos, but I just don't have time to do any of this. Mm-hmm. That made me so passionate about time management. And that's why I pivoted so hard. I was passionate about it. So guess what happens? I rip this massive Band-Aid off. Name changes, content changes. And of course you get people in the comments like, no.
And then the ones that don't approve, right?
Exactly. But if you've really been listening to what people are saying and you're pivoting mm-hmm. in their favor, do you know what they say? Yay! Mm-hmm. So, I mean, 80% of my comments were massively enthusiastic. And it changed everything because I just said, this is what it is. Get on board or don't. That's fine. That's fine. And it turned out, I mean, it took me every bit of that 10 years to get to 80,000 YouTube subscribers. I made that change at the beginning of 2018. And in 2 months, I had 20,000 more. I hit my first 100K. And in another 100 days, I hit 200,000 subscribers. The trajectory was a hockey stick. If you've ever mm-hmm. seen one, it was crazy. It wouldn't have happened that way if I would have been like, okay, we're doing a little bit of video stuff, you know, just make sure we talk about the old right. stuff. I know you guys like the old stuff, but now I'm trying this new thing. Is that okay? Mm-hmm. And I can ask them if it's okay, but guess what? They're going to tell me anyway. There's a comment section for a reason. They're going to tell me when I don't miss the mark, I can say sorry. Right? Do you guys remember when Flixster was a thing? Oh, yeah. Netflix was like, let's split up the company and call some of mm-hmm. it Flixster. And it was this huge mess. And then they said, oh, you guys don't like that. And also it's kind of, yeah, you're right. Never mind. Netflix can change their mind. That worked out just fine for them.
Yep.
We think everyone's watching. No one cares. Yeah. Even the people who are watching, if you love what's about to happen so much that you would do it for free, just go so hard on it because people will pay you a lot of money to do it and everybody else will just get on board.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting too, Amy, is that that was a pretty big shift. I mean, you're changing your name, basically your entire brand, right? You're just changing everything. And I kind of liken that to people who are just changing their own personal brand. I am a teacher and I now want to be a project manager or, you know, whatever the case may be. And it's interesting because you didn't ask for permission. You just did it because you knew in your own heart, in your gut, in your business acumen, like, this is what I need to do. Mm-hmm. And I think that goes the same for people who are wanting to make that career change. Like, I try to tell people, trust in yourself. There's a reason why you're thinking this way. There's a reason why you're thinking, maybe I should transition into something different. Maybe something that, you know, maybe provides me more of an income so I can better support my family, or whatever, you know, the reason is. Maybe I'm tired of teaching. I want to get into project management. Maybe I want to go into corporate. And it's just so interesting how courage is kind of an overarching theme about that when you make that transition, because you didn't know truly what the outcome was going to be when you did change your name and all the other information, but it actually turned out to be so great for you because I think there was passion behind that too. So giving people the courage and having them believe in themselves and their skill set just really goes a long way. So kind of to shift a little bit and to talk a little bit about skills. So one of the things that we talk about on the show is a lot of your hard skills. So things like knowing how to create a project schedule, knowing how to create a project charter, you know, all of the different hard skills needed that are required in project management. But then we've got the soft skills. And soft skills is something that I really like to talk about because it's something you have to work on. And guys, I'm still working on soft skills myself. I'm always looking to be a better leader. I'm always looking to increase my emotional intelligence. What are my teams doing? I'm in a meeting and I'm watching everybody and how they're reacting to what I'm saying and what's being discussed. So there's a lot of things that that project managers do need to learn. But outside of those things, I'd like to know, like, what you would recommend that people really kind of hone in on or work on as far as any type of skills that would get them to be a little bit more attractive to potential employers or to recruiters to get into project management. Because what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to communicate that just like we all want to be well-rounded people, just as people, we also want to be well-rounded professionals. So I'm kind of curious like what your thoughts are on that and any advice that you would give anybody.
Let me ask you something. Mm-hmm. What category would you put leadership in?
As a project manager?
Yeah. Would you call it a hard skill or a soft skill?
I consider that a soft skill.
Yeah.
And the reason I consider it a soft skill is it's not like there's not like a methodology to it, right? So it's not like we're going to open up Microsoft Project and then you enter your tasks and you enter your durations and there is an actual methodology in creating schedules or any other hard skill for project management. But leadership really is a soft skill and it changes. And it changes depending on who you're working with and in what area you're working with. Working in a leadership role as a project manager in a corporate environment is very different than working, let's say, in a school district, which actually I have done. And your leadership style is very different. And it takes emotional intelligence. And you have to learn that. And you have to continually hone in that skill in order to build up your leadership skills.
Okay, so then why don't I ask you this? What category would you put task management in?
Task management to me is a hard skill. It's a hard skill. This is actually things that you learn in, let's say, in classes or in sort of webinars or, you know, how to manage tasks. There's, of course, soft skills kind of overarch a lot of the different hard skills that we do in project management because you're not just working on your own. You're not working in a silo. You're working with a team. You're managing the team. You're managing the project. And task management, in your example, you got to understand, like, these are not just your tasks. This is your team's tasks. How are they feeling? What's the pressure like? So
that's why I asked you that. Because you know what's funny is when we as managers, leaders are struggling to gain control, we usually run to the hard skill.
Yes.
We run to the how and the what, because it's like, I could do that. I can check those boxes. I can return to those. Like, you didn't get to it fast enough. Let me just go ahead. I'll report back to your superior on that. No problem. But we run to the hard skills when we're struggling to gain control. But I want everyone to hear this because it is very important that I say it, but Sandy just said it too. So we're going to make sure you catch it. Leadership skills are the number one, best, most important task management skill. When you learn how to build people, you get everything done.
Yes.
We're all rowing in the same direction.
Yes.
And a lot of people miss the boat on what leadership skills are because we run to hard skills. So we try to find hard skills that can help encapsulate leadership training, right? Mm-hmm. Like you said, it's emotional intelligence. Mm-hmm. Guess what, guys? I'm not that emotional intelligent. Like, I'm not. It's not my thing. My best friend is the emotionally intelligent one. So she's really good at asking good questions. And I try to improve myself. It's about asking good questions. It's about caring about other people. It's about letting them talk. It's about letting them vent a little bit. It's about upholding a standard, but still letting a human be a human. I just had my team one-on-ones this morning. And as interested and as compelled as I am to have a conversation with them, I still need a little bit of direction for how I can stay open instead of start dictating terms. Yeah. I know that if I stay open and I hear where they are so I can find where the opportunities are, then I can train them up, I can coach them up, I can make them better. And when I make them better, I activate their time at a whole nother level. And so I just took my time and multiplied it because I made them better, made them feel good, and gave them the tools they needed if they felt a little lost on something so they can go do the thing. As an entrepreneur that owns the business, buying back my time is a big expense. But I don't like to think of it as an expense because it's my investment in the business. It's my investment in myself. I can't buy back the time and then not use it for higher level activity. So you're not going to find me writing a novel in an email because we should have a better system for whatever's in that email. And likely it could be quicker, tracked better in a project manager, and the meetings could be shorter as well because we can get to the point and not dress it up with sugar.
Right.
A lot of people just don't get to the point. And they don't get to the point because they want to dance around it. And they want to dance around it because they don't care about the people they're working with. If you want your task management to be 10x'd, you have to build your people. That's what I would say is by far and away the most important skill. I don't care if you are in an entry-level position and no one even knows your first name yet.
Right.
If you start building your leadership skills now, you'll communicate better, you will move up faster, and I will break Sandy's rule about you not making six figures yet, because, honey, it's my whole job to make sure you do.
Yeah. Yeah. I love every single thing that you said, because it's 100% true. And also, did you know, Amy, that you're actually a project manager? Everything that you just talked about is things that project managers do day in and day out.
Now, I believe it.
Do you have the title of project manager? Have you ever said, I'm a project manager? No, probably not. Probably not.
I try not to say that. I really work very hard not to.
So, identifying and putting that identity or label on yourself as a project manager, all of us are project managers. Now, translating that onto your resume and translating that into your interview and convincing and telling the story about why you are a project manager through the different projects and such that you're doing on, that is a process. You learn how to do that. Just like with leadership, you learn, you continually grow. This is not just say, I'm going to take this test and voila, I'm a project manager. It takes time. It takes skill. It takes experience. When I first started as a project manager, I did take an introduction to project management course. And I absolutely fell in love with it. And I was given an opportunity within my team to take over a project. That's actually how I got into project management. I did not graduate from college saying, I'm going to be a project manager. I didn't even know what a project manager was. But I was given an opportunity to work on a software, like a product comparison website. And I really excelled because those skills kind of came naturally to me. And then once I learned the methodology, and then I started getting more experience, it was great, but I wasn't a project manager before I started doing that work. I had actually done some other things like data analysis and pricing for our products. I was in no way, shape or form a project manager. So I did make that transition because I saw, you know what? I'm actually pretty good at organizing and I'm pretty good at managing tasks. And I feel like I have some emotional intelligence. You're not going to have every single skill. And nobody does in any profession, right? But I thought, well, why don't I give it a shot? And I did give it a shot, and here I am. And I'm able to talk to people about project management, which makes me super proud of myself. And I think people should also be proud of themselves. The work that they've done for so many years as a teacher, I have so many teachers coming to me saying, I love teaching, but it just doesn't provide income that I need. So what can I do to transition out of teaching and into project management? So we talk a lot about that transition stuff. Cause like you're saying, you can learn the hard skills. That's easy. And that's kind of like home base. You're like, I can create a project schedule and I can, I can write a charter. And yes, those are all absolutely needed in project management, but transitioning over to those soft skills, that is really kind of where the magic happens. This is where when you are presenting yourself in an interview, this is what they look at. Nobody has ever asked me in an interview, can I see your last Gantt chart for your project? Not one time has anybody ever asked me that. You know what they ask me? They ask me things like, tell me about a time where you had major conflict on your team. And how did you handle that? Soft skill. Tell me about a time where you had to present to the C-suite. Leadership skill, communication skill. Tell me about a time where you inherited a project that was off the rails. Again, soft skill. Yes, I can do the hard skills. I have my PMP, which is the Project Management Professional Certification through PMI, which is the Project Management Institute. And that is kind of the gold standard. And that is just kind of a stamp of saying, yep, Sandy, she took the test. She knew how to answer all the questions. But you know what you they don't ask you is, how'd you handle this situation? What do you do when you lose all your resources? How do you talk to upper management? What do you do when a customer says, I know I asked for that, but I didn't really want that. How do I handle that? So having those soft skills and learning those soft skills is probably one of the most important things, if not the most important thing about project management. It's not just the hard skills, but the soft skills, because it overarches everything else.
Absolutely. I believe it.
So,
Well said.
yeah. So another shift, let's talk about daily routines. So because project managers were typically very organized people, okay? And honestly, if you're not organized, I don't know that you should be a project manager, but you can always work on that skill. But daily routines. I have a very good morning routine, and I have a very good morning, personal morning routine, and then I have a very good professional morning routine for my projects, because like I said, I'm working on those. So let's talk a little bit about small habits, because that's what I've learned to do. I'm one of those, I'm like, I'm gonna do this and I'm gonna take care of this and do all these things. And then I realize, oh, I need to scale that down because I was failing miserably. Can we talk a little bit about small habits and how they can actually create big leaps in confidence, especially when there's kind of a big change? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Absolutely. The small habits are only going to matter if you know what the vision is. When you know what the vision is, then you understand why you have these habits. They don't have to be huge. And this is why people get into trouble when they try to make the habit huge, but not the vision. Make the habit big, not make the habit big. I'm sorry, I'm saying it backwards now, but like when you make the vision big, now you think bigger than whatever you have to do that day. So even if the habit is feels just like this tiny stair step, the fact that you did it, but in the energy of where you're headed, that's what makes the difference. You don't want it to be such a big habit. Like I'll give you the example, if you never work out and all of a sudden you go to a CrossFit class, or you try to, you try to run a 5K and you're the couch person at the moment. You know that's going to be a lot of stress on the body. You haven't warmed it up yet. You haven't gotten the reps in to even hit that milestone. It's the same thing. If you try to do too much on the first day, even on the 10th day, you're more worried about that being impressive than what it's helping you to become. And the important thing here is that the vision is so big because you are going to make something of your life that is sustainable. It shouldn't be so crazy on a daily basis that you cannot possibly identify with the person who's doing it. But if you can identify with where you're going, then the small steps you take every day make a huge difference. I call this is my other acronym. I feel like I'm sharing all my acronyms with
I
you
love
today.
it. And
But
our
this
audience
is
is
what
going to
I
love it.
call this is what I call having faith. Follow aligned intentions through habits. It's really easy to fall off on your every day. It's really easy to fall off on the small things because it feels like it's not enough. But if you remember what your intention is and you stay in alignment with it and you just get the reps in, if you just do the thing you're supposed to do every day, if you just double check your projects every single morning to know what you're starting with, if you just read your goals when you wake up in the morning, if you just have the nighttime routine so you know you wake up on time, if you always put the kids to bed around the same time every day. My kids don't go to sleep at the exact same time every day. However, it is within a range because of a standard I uphold. My 3-year-old still likes to stay up until 10 o'clock p.m. sometimes, but she knows the standard. The standard is she's going to be alone during that time. She doesn't sleep in my bed. I don't hang out with her till that hour. We have moved on because I need to go to sleep. Good Lord, I need to go to sleep by 9. She's up till 10 sometimes. Like, no, I don't have time for that. If you don't put in the little steps, they can't compound. My 3-year-old wouldn't understand the rules at the most fightingest fight moment of her life, that is being 3 years old, if I wouldn't have set the tone for how it goes at 6 months old and 1 year old and 2 years old. I don't want this to be a parenting preach, but it's the same for you. You guys, we're just a bunch of old people still looking for the adult in the room. So be the adult in the room and uphold the standard for the person you're becoming. That's all these little habits are. Mm-hmm. And what I love what you said is how this relates to confidence, because I believe that confidence happens through action. It sucks, right? You'd rather somebody just hand you confidence on a silver platter so you could just move along with all these hard things you have to do today. But every time you show up and deliver on a promise you made yourself, you get to pick up a little bit of confidence, put it in your purse, pick up a little confidence, put it here, and you just collect, and over time it builds, and some of it falls out. And you forget about it. Yeah. And some of it sticks around forever. And you stay strong in that area. For the most part, it's moving pieces. And you constantly have to pick them up. The only way to do that is to make good on promises you've made yourself. Not just promises that look good to the rest of the world. Those are nice. Those are icing on the cake.
Yeah.
But and you've got to do the small things. Yes.
Also those promises that someone else has given you. Right? Because it's not your vision, not your promise. Taking that leap, you're saying, you know what? I'm just going to do it. I may not be ready. I may not feel ready. I may go in and totally embarrass myself, which, let me tell you, nobody has ever embarrassed themselves. And I have interviewed countless project managers from all levels, and none of them have ever embarrassed themselves. So those small habits, I can pat myself on the back every single day when I get up. I'm like, oh, I get up and I did my workout this morning. Perfect. Pat on the back, pat on the back, pat on the back. It's continual. But when I find, what I find is that when I have given myself, when I say, just like the example you gave, like, I'm going to do CrossFit. I've never worked out a day in my life, but I'm going to do CrossFit. Okay. And then after 3 days, I'm like, oh, this is terrible because it's painful.
Super painful. I don't want to do that.
Yeah. No, I don't want to do that.
I don't want to do that because I'll tell you what, I don't want to do it my whole life.
Yeah.
I don't want that to be my standard. Right. I want to take really good care of myself. Mm-hmm. I want to find the most efficient way to do that. Yes. I don't want to die for a whole hour every day. Yep. And you know what? Maybe I'll change my mind and I'll be super yay CrossFit. Yep. I lift weights today. And 10 years ago, you couldn't have gotten me to do that. I thought I had to be a little cardio bunny. You also go through phases for what works for you with wherever you are in your mindset. The most important thing is, what do I actually want to show up to do? At first, it's still going to be hard, but if you push through it and you go, oh, wow, it's getting easier after week two, week three, week four. I got through that really yuck beginning.
Right.
And I could see this actually being a habit. It's not my favorite thing, but I'm still doing it. I'm getting through it and I can see how it's helping me. That's the sweet spot we're looking for. We don't want you to like not want to do your day. I want to wake up every day and be excited about whatever I have on deck.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree. All right. So one last question before we end today. If you could give our audience one piece of just solid advice. And it could be really about anything. It doesn't even have to be related to anything we're talking about today. If you can give them one piece of advice that would really kind of give them the push that they need to start following their dreams to transition into project management, what would you tell them?
Forget the perfect moment. Make the moment perfect.
Love it.
You have all the tools. You have all the tools. There's not going to be a perfect moment. One of my, I can't remember the exact phrase, but my business coach says something like, winners fail a lot. Right. We all think we're losers because we fail, but in actuality, we will become losers if we do not fail. I know you guys, I know the type of people listening to this show. I know how much failure hurts you. And guess what? That's going to change your life for the better. Because you won't learn it a better way. You could go read it in a book. I could tell you all the terrible things that have happened in my career. You will make the same mistakes because it doesn't hurt you that much. Right. It's not you. Mm-hmm. So please fail and go, okay, I felt that.
Yeah.
What did I learn from it? I know it's hokey. I know it's annoying. And I know the teachers are like, yes, we love to say this to the students, but I promise you, as much as you want everything to be organized and perfect, there's no perfect moment. This is the perfect moment right now, because I hope you fail. You will feel it. You will grow from it. You will be so much better for it.
Wonderful. Love it. Love, love, love it all. Thank you, Amy, so much. I so appreciate your time today. And I know that our listeners will very much appreciate all of your nuggets of wisdom. And I will make sure that I include all your information in our show notes. And we, again, thank you so much for your time today. And hopefully we'll talk soon.
Sandy, it was an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Great. Thanks so much.
Phew. Wasn't that such a powerful conversation? You know, Amy Landino never fails to bring the truth with grace and fire. So whether it's creating or starting before you feel ready, or maybe it's just building that morning routine that sets that tone for your whole life, even just for the day, she actually reminded us that success starts with very small intentional steps. So if you enjoyed this episode, please do yourself a favor and grab her book, Good Morning, Good Life. It's an absolute game changer, especially if you're looking to level up your mindset and actually your mornings. And hey, listen, if Amy's words lit a fire in you today and you've been thinking about making a leap into project management or maybe just stepping into something new, I want you to know this. You can do it. You're more ready than you think. So don't forget to share this episode with a friend who maybe needs to hear it and leave a quick review if it resonated with you. It really does help more aspiring project managers find the good PM life. So thanks again for tuning in. I'll see you in 2 weeks with another episode. And until then, keep managing those projects and making things happen. See you soon.